Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call the House Committee on Rules to order for Tuesday, June 6, 2017. Colleagues, I am going to roll over to tomorrow House Bill 2947 and HCR 37. Since we have a floor session and I know we have a caucus, we're going to move through things pretty quickly. I'm going to start with a, am I going to do work session first? I'm going to start with opening a work session on Senate Bill 491.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 491 replaces Board of Governors with Oregon Supreme Court's appointing authority for State Professional Responsibility Board, established disciplinary proceedings against bar members be based on Oregon State Bar bylaws and Oregon Supreme Court rules, eliminates local professional responsibility committees, creates professional adjudicator positions for disciplinary boards, provides immunity for disciplinary monitors and mentors. There is an emergency clause on the measure. You have a -3 amendment. The -3 amendment restores requirement that disciplinary board hearing for member is held in county that they maintain their law practice in, county where they live, or county where the offense occurs, and it restores record keeping provisions for the disciplinary board. It comes to you with a minimal fiscal and a no revenue impact on the -3 amendment.
Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, I move the -3 amendments to House Bill or Senate Bill 378, or sorry, the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 491.
Thank you. Vice Chair Rayfield has moved the -3 amendments into Senate Bill 491. Is there any discussion? And I will just say, colleagues, since Vice Chair McLean is not here, he had some questions about this bill. I believe they've all been resolved. And so if anyone was concerned about making sure that his issues were resolved, we had a conversation yesterday. He told me they were resolved. So
thank you, Madam Chair. I was concerned about that.
I know.
Are we in discussion right now?
Yes.
Okay. So have we heard this bill?
Mm-hmm.
We did. Okay. I didn't remember hearing it.
We heard it in Judiciary.
I wasn't in there.
Yes, that's right. I was. That's why I was like, yes, we had a hearing on this bill.
Madam Chair, Representative Barreto was heard in Judiciary. It was moved to the floor. The floor sent it back to Rules.
Yeah, and I can just kind of add in, part of the reason we sent it back is because Representative McLean and I had read through the bill and had some issues with some of the language in the bar bill. The -3 amendment addresses those issues, which is why we pulled it from the floor back to Rules.
So no, we have not had a hearing here, but I have been in a hearing on this bill.
Yeah. So the bill just came on today, and so I was I thought we would have a hearing on it, to be honest with you. So, but here he is right here. So
I'm speaking on your behalf.
So did I.
Which I know you love. We're in discussion on the -3s for the bar bill, and I was just saying that you and I had a conversation, and I believe the -3s addressed your concerns, and Representative Rayfield said that the reason we pulled it off the floor is that you and he had some concerns and that our understanding is that the -3s address that.
Yes, Madam Chair, they do. And I did talk at length with the bar and former Justice McGillette. Mm-hmm. And that alleviated a lot of my concerns. The issue comes down to that the bar feels and those who have been accused, members who were accused of violations, that scheduling the local board is continuing to be more and more cumbersome. And so that step was making resolution longer to achieve. And so I think that is certainly a balance. I would support either way the committee wants to go. If we want to go with the original bill or the -3, I'll be supportive either way.
Well, we have a motion on the table for the -3s.
Okay, then I will support the motion, if Barbara Smith Warner supports.
She did want to know.
Well, after some tough negotiation, Representative McLean, I was speaking on your behalf earlier, and that I was indeed.
You missed it. We all
thought
about you.
Only supporting it if I supported it.
I apologize for being late.
No, you're fine. Any other discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
All right, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 491 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 491 to the floor with the due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. It says carriers Williamson. Okay, I guess I'm carrying this. All right, with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 378.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 378 adds Oregon Volunteer Firefighter Association to list of eligible entities that may be included for Oregon charitable checkoff. Listing applies to individual tax returns for years beginning on or after January 1st, 2017, takes effect 91st day after signing die. You have a dash 3 amendment. The dash 3 amendment just specifies contributions made to the Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association are dedicated to direct costs of fire training or to assist firefighter or firefighter's immediate family who have experienced hardship resulting from death, injury, or illness of the firefighter. There is a no fiscal and no revenue impact on the dash 3.
Senator Boone. Senator Hansel.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, I'm Senator Bill Hansel for the record, representing Senate District 29 in Northeastern and North Central Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you about Senate Bill 378. Senate Bill 378 allows the Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association to be listed on the income tax refund checkoff list. This bill has been signed on to by all 30 members of the Oregon Senate, and I understand 57 House members, something that rarely happens in this building. Many rural communities rely on the services provided by volunteer firefighters, including my hometown of Athena, where I live. These volunteer firefighters are the first responders in rural communities, car crash, medical emergency, or any kind of first responder requirement. These are the ones who respond to a call. They receive the same training and experience as paid firefighters do. But volunteer firefighters many times have a more difficult time paying for the equipment and mandatory training the state requires of firefighters. Paid firefighters are on duty for a set time during their shifts. Volunteer firefighters are on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In 2013, there were around 8,300 volunteer firefighters across the state. Volunteer firefighter efforts are critical to rural Oregon, and this legislation would allow funds to be given to the Volunteer Firefighters Association for various purposes. The bill does not cost Oregon anything, as the organization is already created and the state is already issuing these tax refunds. If people want to give the refund to this group, Senate Bill 378 provides them the opportunity. By allowing the organization to appear on the tax form for donations of a person's refund, we can keep the volunteers involved in the community. Grant Darrell from the Elgin Rural Fire District in my district stated in an email to me, a young volunteer firefighter with a job and family and is finding it difficult, if not impossible, to juggle the time required by work, family, kids, and their associated activities with increased demand by the state for more training. The first thing to fall by the wayside is their desire to serve the community. The volunteers must take training as per the state rules. Training costs money and it costs time. Time away from family, time away from their jobs, etc. By adding Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association to the list, we can help ensure the additional resources. The money they would receive goes to assist volunteers and their agencies. The Dash 3 amendments created through conversations between Representative Boone, myself, and the volunteer firefighters and the union firefighters states that the money will be used in the following way: direct cost of firefighter training or assistance of a firefighter, hardship results from death, injury, or illness of the firefighter. I've appreciated the opportunity to work with Bob Livingston and Jack Dempsey, lobbyists for the Oregon State Firefighters Council, on this bill. I believe the Dash 3 amendment helps address their concerns. It is my understanding they have moved from opposition to neutral on the bill with these Dash 3 amendments. It has also been my absolute delight to work with and help Representative Deb Boone with this bill, something that has been on her heart for years. This bill is a vehicle for giving Oregonians an option to assist rural volunteer fire departments with the ability to donate their tax refunds and help the organization, which is very vital to rural Oregon. I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions? Thank you, Senator. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee, my name for the record is Deborah Boone. I represent House District 32, the beautiful upper left coast of Oregon. And I thank Senator Hansel for doing this bill, helping me out. We had a bill early on, Representative Olson and I were going to do, but it's the very same bill, so we decided to go with Senator Hansel's because he has a few more years on the
on the public service dock than both of us put together. And I'd like to thank all the people from the fire service who came today, took the time out of their day to show up for this hearing. This is a little bit emotional for me, so bear with me. And I left my speech away because I've given that speech 8 times before. This is our 9th attempt to get this, some version of this bill through. And Genoa Ingram will tell you, too, the same thing. And she's put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this effort. So for me, this is one of the high points of my career here. And I am very proud to be in association with my senator from the other side, the far eastern part of the state. And my husband, Bill, has served as a volunteer chief for 26 years. We think we kind of lost track, but he's one of the longest serving volunteer chiefs in the state. And my life has been that life. And we have a fire radio going at all times. 5 different agencies will be on that radio at any given time. And one of the high points of my tenure on the fire department, I spent 16 years as a volunteer doing mostly medical because, as you can see, I'm not a big, you know, I try to pick up the Homaltro tool and I can hardly lift it, let alone cut with it. So a couple weeks ago was Memorial Day. We had a mass casualty call on Highway 26, shut the highway down for several hours. There were 4 or 5 agencies involved, and we opened the trauma system on 2 people. We got the air flight, but it couldn't land, so they were out. But we had 5 ambulances, I think 10 patients, 5 agencies who all had their own calls going at the same time. This is like Monday, Memorial Day, at the coast. They all just work well together. They all know what to do. They just fall into it. It happens. And they can be in, and they were stressed because one whole carload, I think 6 of the patients, none of them spoke English. They were Chinese, I think, or some Asian. So that was an extra thing when the 2 of the trauma people were not speaking English. So our people figure out how to do it. They are not paid, as you hear. They are on call 24/7. Sometimes you can have 3 or 4 calls in a day, middle of the night calls. Often you don't find the scene, whatever, but you have to go out and do it. And this is a small way we can show appreciation and allow people in Oregon who pay taxes and get a refund to donate that refund to this group. There are about 120 other groups on the list. So you have quite a choice if you want to donate your the rest of your refund to a group. So I want to say thank you for the chair for hearing this bill today. And I know that it went just flew through the Senate. So hopefully it'll fly through the House too, and we can get this done once and for all. And I really appreciate everything you've done to help us do that. So, and everybody, I hate to start calling people out because I'll forget somebody, but they know who they are and they know they have my love and appreciation. So thank you.
Thank you. Genoa.
Madam Chair, Genoa Ingram, Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association. I'm not going to take up your time because I know you're pressed. A chair once said to me, do you want to speak or do you want your bill? And I very much want this bill. So I'm not going to say anything further. The bill has been kicking around this building for 10 years, and we would like to see a work session. So my people and I just want to thank everyone who showed up from Nestucca, Lebanon, Cloverdale, Clackamas, Jared Kearney from Clackamas, our president, Rex Parks, Polk County, really are here to support the bill, and we thank you so, so, so much.
Excellent. Thank you. I have David Sellers.
Can I just
ask you have a question?
Yeah, just one quick question. This seems like a great thing. I'm just kind of curious the on-the-ground impact. I mean, what's the size of your budget now? I mean, sometimes these things can like range and get anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 that could come into an organization. And what does that look like for you, like on the ground, helping your members?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Rayburn. I looked at all of the entities that are on now, and I divided up what they bring in over the years by the number of entities, and it averaged out to about $25,000. We have a conference coming up next week, and what we're hoping to do is offer scholarships and additional training for that effort in particular. And then we've also worked with Director Gablick's at DPSST about bringing regional training to firefighters who don't find it convenient to come into to Salem. So that's the purpose.
Very neat.
Thank you. Further questions? All right. Thank you very much. David Sellers.
And if I may, David was here to answer questions, if they are any, and come on up and see if there's questions.
Any questions? Yes, there are no questions.
You can say thank you.
I just, yes, I want to say thank
you
for
say your
bringing
name
this.
First
My, oh, David Sellers. I'm immediate past president of the OVFA. I've been on the board for 8 years. I've been a volunteer for 27 years. We used to put on conferences that had 200, 250 people, and we managed those people and we trained them. As money got tighter and tighter and tighter for both the organizations we serve and for us, we were able to do less and less and less in supporting those people coming. This would regenerate that in a way that we wouldn't be giving most of, we did telemarketing for a while, we gave most of our money away to the telemarketers. We don't want to do that. So we want this to come in. And we know how to manage it, and we would have way more people be able to come to our conferences and get them the needed training. And also, we've been wanting for the last 8 years to do regional training for some of the classes these guys need for their officer one, for their firefighter two, that they can't get anywhere. And so if we can do this, get past this rule, and be able to get our 10,000 signatures, I know we can do that. We're ready to go. We'll hit the ground running for the other stuff we need to do. So thank you so much for looking at this and any questions you might have.
Questions? Thank you very much. So I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 378. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 378.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 378.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved the Dash 3 amendments into Senate Bill 378. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes.
And Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 378 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 378 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative.
Thank
Smith
you, Madam
Warner.
Chair. I just wanted to call out the great long time work of our colleague Representative Boone on this, as well as General Ingram. Great job. I'm sorry it took this long, and I'm very happy to be voting on this today.
Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Boone. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 378. I will open a public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 38.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 38 declares August of 2017 as Oregon Albacore Tuna Month.
Representative Boone, are you gonna? Nancy, you wanna come up, Fitzpatrick? Oh, yeah. We can grab an additional chair if we need to.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. Go ahead. Madam Chair, State Representative David Brocksmith, House District 1. I just want to tell you that House Concurrent Resolution 38 is a good bill and should pass. And firemen love albacore tuna.
Excellent.
I'm Nancy Fitzpatrick. Do you want to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay. Nancy Fitzpatrick, Executive Director for the Oregon Albacore Commission, which is an industry-funded state commodity commission under the Oregon Department of Agriculture. So I'm representing the commercial fishermen, ocean fishermen. And as you see on the whereases, we represent 350 to 425 vessels. These are family wage jobs. We've got the crew on there and all of these. And August is one of our most important months. July, August, September, October is when the tuna come in. And everybody gets all jazzed up. Where can I find my tuna? It's fresh tuna time. Let's go to the coast. Let's make a trip. Let's buy our tuna. Let's can our tuna. And just to put it in reference, we land on an average 10 million pounds of albacore in Oregon. When you recover that to just meat, it's about half, a little less than that, so call it 5 million pounds of actual meat. We have about just over 4 million people in Oregon, so if every Oregonian ate 1 pound of tuna a year,
one and a quarter.
He did the math for me, thank you. I was doing round numbers. our tuna would be all gone. So we wanted, our push is for domestic marketing, and having a month declared as albacore tuna month benefits the commercial fishermen. The recreational fishermen turn out in hordes to go get the albacore tuna, and it's just a lovely thing. Great tasting, you can do everything with it, and so I would hope that you would see the benefits to making August albacore tuna month.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee. Deborah Boone, House District 32, again, from the beautiful left, upper left coast. And Nancy came to me, and in a Coastal Caucus meeting, I think, she asked if that was a possibility to do this proclamation, and so we said sure. And one of the things that I thought of that it would really benefit is the activities she spoke about in August at the coast, to be able to showcase them and say, you know, that this is officially Oregon Albacore Tuna Month. So I hope that you will come to the coast and maybe take, well, I wouldn't wish anybody to go out on the ocean if they're like me, but I sure like to eat it, and you can buy it fresh, and I can't tell you how good it is. You'll probably always want fresh tuna once you try the real thing. And you have a former commercial fisherman on your committee. I'm sure he can concur with that. So I hope you will see fit to pass this through today, and we can declare August Albacore Tuna Month in Oregon. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, thank you for hearing this today. My name is Joe Rollator. I live in Walport, and I represent Seafood Oregon here in this building, which is the four ocean commercial fishing commodity commissions. I won't bore you any stories today, but I could tell you stories about canning tuna when I was 4 years old with my mom. And I can tell you stories when I was 6 years old of being lost in the fog with my dad, 150 miles offshore. And so I have a long history with Oregon fishing, and I'm very honored to represent fishermen here at this building, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Yes, Representative Bretta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I assume August is the best month to catch tuna, is that correct? Okay.
Want to make sure.
Oh, you know,
we're declaring the right month.
Every time I go out in the ocean, I get sick. You know, so yeah. if I go that far out to fish, you know, I just want it to be worth it. So August would be
definitely the peak. And one of the things I did want to say also is that the Oregon Albacore is MSC certified as Sustainable Marine Stewardship Council. We fish hook and line, barbless hooks. Each tuna is brought on board one at a time. I've got photos here if you'd like to see, but one at a time, so it's sustainable, and you know, no bycatch, so it's a very clean fishery. Thank you.
And then Rayfield.
One of the, I think, kind of unknown problems we've had in the Capitol is in the members' lounge. There's been a surplus of tuna fish sandwiches. If this bill passes, do both of you support to eat a little bit more tuna in the House lounge?
Those are good sandwiches.
Only if it's albacore.
Madam Chair, Representative Rayfield, there is no such thing as a surplus of albacore tuna in the building.
Hashtag stand message.
Excellent. Any further questions or comments? All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I will close the public hearing on HCR 38, and I will open a work session on HCR 38.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 38 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved HCR 38 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Boone. We'll close that work session. Erin, do we have anything else for the good of the order?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that completes our agenda for today. Just a reminder, we have our first Wednesday meeting tomorrow in this room at 3 o'clock.
All right.
Yay.
See you all tomorrow. We're adjourned here.
3 o'clock.
All right.
Yay.
See you all tomorrow. We're adjourned here.